from North Carolina, Pat Guard 66.
It's episode 111 of True Science.
No, please don't apologize. We told you to do whatever, amazing. And that was exactly whatever.
Wow. I'm all hopped up for some certain reason.
We should be the ones apologizing to anyone in your house right now because you're screaming.
Luckily, it's just me and my wife.
She's very startled.
She's used to it by this time.
Sorry, miss.
I would hope so, yeah. I'm assuming that's how Sean starts every morning anyways. Like when he rolls out of bed, he just screams. Yeah.
Run north!
I should tell her to do that to me when I wake up.
She
has to do that for me because I'm Michael Jordan.
Because I'm Michael Jordan. What's going on, everyone, and welcome to True Two Sides. See, my entrance doesn't even seem half as climactic as that one, but we'll go with it. We are a weekly podcast centered around the wild world of sneakers. I will be your host today. My name is Lawrence Hopkins, and I am joined by the rest of the quarantine at Canada Got Soul, Mr. Joel Hernandez.
Ew.
And Mr. Alvin Martinez.
Yodi yodi.
And now I feel bad for not introducing him like that. But we do have a little bit of something for him. You've probably seen him on Instagram flexing that OG knowledge. But you should also know that he was dunking all over people in college. If we were playing chess, he'd be the king and you'd be the pawn. Mr. Jordan to himself, in the flesh. Say what up to Sean.
Ah, thank you guys. I love that. Very nice.
And if they don't introduce you like that every single episode now on the Sneaker Podcast, then you need to renegotiate your contract.
I know.
Because
Mike, you have to get your shit together, man.
If you're listening to this, Mike, you got some competition now. Sean, thank you for being here. It was only like 3 weeks ago, I think, that you were here last time. But this is, we checked, this is your first time being here solo in almost 100 episodes. It's been like 90-something episodes since you've been here. It was like episode 22 or something, I think we decided.
I was a hit last time around then.
Yeah. So good.
And you waited 90-something episodes to have me on the
solo again. First of all, it's insane to even
say. I never read the comments in the after that episode, so I shouldn't, I guess.
No, yeah. We deleted all the negative ones, and we're like, yeah, we'll let it burn a little bit, and we'll try this again.
Perfect.
Once you introduce somebody as Jordan, Mr. Jordan 2, everyone kind of goes, oh, okay.
Oh,
it's only impressive to a select few people.
That's right.
But we do thank you for being here once again. We've got a cute little show for you guys this week. We have the final chapter of Nike versus Kawhi, which is very exciting. We've got a conversation about barbecue. And Sean, you've got 20 seconds. Can you name 5 non-OG colorways of the Jordan 6?
No. I wasn't informed that there'd be math on this episode of the True to Side. So, DMP.
One.
Yeah.
One. That's one.
The ones, the black and purple ones. I don't know the name of them. The ones that were that social status.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. With the pony hair. Yeah.
The pony hair. Yeah.
Yep.
There's a Olympic.
Yep.
You said 5?
Sure. Yeah.
the white and gold joints.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
DMP
colors.
Shit. No. The white and varsity red.
There you go. That was
black and varsity red. There, I give you a bonus. Black and varsity red.
Significantly more than 20 seconds, but thank you for trying.
Yeah.
Would have also accepted Dornbacher, Travis.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah. Travis, of course.
Of course, your favorite man. Yeah, how could you forget?
Exactly.
Because it's Sean's first time back here solo with our new format, he is going to be subjected to the gauntlet that is 21 questions. We're also going to go back over his solography for anyone who forgot 90 episodes ago. And we're going to get into, of course, some Jordan 2 talk, because it wouldn't be an episode with Sean Collard without Jordan 2 talk. But first, Alvin.
Oof, fire round.
Yes, the fire round. It's getting worse every week, but we like to start every show with a quick hitting question from you, our listeners. And this week's question comes from at I am Dan Man, good friend of the show.
Oh, Dan.
And he wants to know, which city, apart from the one that you currently live in, would you like to live in based on sneaker culture? And this is an interesting question. His answer, while you guys think of your answer, is mine would be Japan, would love some easier access to Atmos and Japanese-only drops, and the creativity and reverence to the sneaker culture of Japanese sneakerheads is amazing. Just really quickly, I want to let Dan Man know that Japan is not a city, but I appreciate his effort.
maybe
he meant Tokyo. Yeah. Alvin, what do you think? Which city would you live in based on sneaker culture alone, other than your own city?
I would live in London.
Okay.
Is London, that a city? Yes.
London, Ontario. Very bold statement.
London in the United Kingdom, London.
Any reason for that?
Yeah, Jordans and stuff aren't that big out there, so I feel like it would be easy to get. But also, in the UK, they're really big on like runners, so like all the brands like New Balance, Saucony, Air Maxes, like Diadora, all those brands, and I'm all about that. So I feel like I could definitely fit into that culture, but also just get my Jordans for whenever I wanted, not have to line up and just walk into a store and be like, "Oh, size 11, thanks." And then, you know, just show.
Yeah, because I feel like London is a big enough market that they would still get everything. It just wouldn't sell out as quickly
as
it would
Ash
here.
Ash Bash is there. Ash Bash, Inventive Minds, all the homies there. So,
lots of
like,
good
we
friends.
We all have friends there. We're good. Yeah.
Fit right in. Joel, what do you think? Any city?
I would probably say like Paris.
Oh.
Like France. Like Francois.
Is there any reason aside from trying to get better at French?
I didn't know Joel was bilingual. I have no idea.
No, because they have like, you know, like just like with like London, they got like a trainer, like everything's like trainers and stuff like that, like sneakers, like runners and whatnot, right? So it's like a heavy runner populated kind of city. Just like with Jordans too, probably easy accessible maybe. But yeah, I don't know. Plus it's a beautiful city too, man.
Oh yeah. That's definitely on my list. I'm going to go with, Los Angeles because I feel like, or California, I guess. Los Angeles, California. I'm confusing myself now. Los Angeles. because I feel like it's similar to Toronto, except they would get like 10 times the quantity of all the same things. And I'm pretty content, with what Toronto gets. And then you add in the weather and, no winter and all that kind of thing. And I think I'd be pretty happy living there. And it seems to be the most rational of all the states. I'll just say rational in terms of many other things. Rational is what I'll go with. Yeah. Sean, what do you think?
I definitely go with New York City.
Okay.
My stepdad is from New York City originally and was like born and raised there, and my grandparents were from there, or his like my step grandparents basically. And I was fortunate enough to go there like twice a year from the time I was 14, and the sneaker culture there is insane.
Yeah.
The number of sneaker stores is insane. So and they have Atmos and all those, you know, the stadium goods and all that stuff, but it's like there's a street called Fulton Street, the Fulton Street Mall. It's not as great now, but it still has a ton of sneaker stores. But back maybe like 10, 15 years ago, it was wall to wall sneaker stores. Sort of it's closed off to traffic besides like buses. Mm. It was just like literally almost every other store was a sneaker store and like mom and pop shops. So it was like you could find anything there. So I would definitely, New York is probably my top on the list there.
Mm-hmm. It's not too far from Montreal either, right? So there you go.
Exactly. There you go. Also a rational city somewhat.
we'll call it that, sure. thank you, Dan, for that great question. If you would like to submit a question for the fire round and have us answer it on the pod, please shoot us a message on Instagram or email us at canadagotsoul@gmail.com. Next up, the CGS picks. Each week, we all pick an upcoming sneaker to analyze, dissect, and give our thoughts on. Then we decide if it's poop, scoop, whoop-de-whoop, or Alvin's trademark phrase,
super cute.
So I'm going to go first, and I'm not going to explain why, just because I want to this week. I'm going to go first. And my pick this week is a follow-up to something that was released, I believe it was 2 years ago, I guess it would have been. It's a Undefeated Air Max 97 2.0 pack, I guess we'll call it. So they did an original white and black release, Undefeated and Nike, on the Air Max 97. And then they did like a flight jacket. You can call it, it's literally an Undefeated colorway, like the orange and the olive green Complex Con special. But now they're back with three more 97s. So I think it was like literally 2 weeks ago, Joel mentioned when we did the Put It On The Board, might have been last week, Joel said, I want to see some 97 collaborations. And now here you go. There's three more Undefeated 97s coming out. So there's a black and Volt. There's like a sail and yellow with baby blue. And then there's like a mustard, orange, and olive. They're all kind of not nice in their own different way. But it's nice to see the 97 getting another collaboration, albeit one that was already done before. But yeah, I'm gonna call the whole pack, all three of them except for maybe one, but just because of the law of averages, is a poop. Out of all three, I think the best one, the sail, baby blue, and yellow. But overall, it's kind of meh because they've kind of been there, done that, and we've seen this before. Alvin, what do you got?
I got the Nike Adapt BB 2.0 Planet of Hoops, aka the Nerf colorway. So we all saw the Nerf colorway first on the KD4, which was bonkers.
Fantastic.
Personally love that colorway.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And on the BB Adapt BB, sorry, 2.0, it's dope, man. Like, you can't really go wrong with the purple, the infrared or slash red. And then you got the Volt on there. It's just a really dope colorway combination. The shoe itself looks really spaced out, though. Like, it's super, super spacey. So I don't know if I'm a really big fan of the shoe, but the colorway is dope. I don't know. These are probably just going to be a cute for me, especially because of the $400 pricing.
Ooh.
But these are set to drop summer 2020. So
I need a Tums after you said that. Oh my god.
Yeah, $400 guys. Yeah.
Yeah, the overall like shape of the shoe is definitely I think a downgrade from the Adapt BB 1, I guess it would be now. But the colorway is definitely a hit. I really like the colorway. But yeah, the shape and overall spaciness.
That back heel, it looks really. I don't know.
Looks cheap, and if you ask me, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Like, it looks unnecessary. I'm sure it's necessary in some way, but it looks like it doesn't need to be there. Joel, what do you got?
Okay, so I got the Nike Cross Trainer 3 Low. I might have had this pick a couple episodes ago, but in a different colorway.
Mm-hmm.
And I had mentioned in my description of the shoe that I can't wait till they drop the infrared because I remember that when I was a kid, and lo and behold,
2 weeks later,
they drop it. Well, they're dropping it. So sometime in spring, they're going to be dropping the infrared colorway, which I like remembered growing up as a kid. And this is the one that I wanted, but I just could not get, I couldn't afford. So this will be like a super scoop for me. It's a spring release. So hopefully sometime soon when all this stuff goes away out there in the world. But yeah, $120, probably $140, $150 Canadian. But keep an eye out for this, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing, yeah, like a whole bunch of Cross Trainer 3s again. So
down, super down.
Yeah, man. Super, super cute for me.
Once again, predictions on True to Size are coming true. So, Sean, if you have a pick and you'd like to say that it's Nike Air Mags coming back out next year, that would be ideal. Just saying.
Funny you should say that, Lawrence, because what my pick was the Air Jordan 5 SE, the top three.
Shit.
No, but the reason I thought of this one, and because it popped up on my feed recently, and I like the idea that I'm not a big fan of the top three models in general, like these versions of the retros that they come out with. But what I'm liking on specific details in this one is they actually, one of the things is they brought back the original font of the 23 on the side of the 5, mm-hmm. which hasn't been seen since 1990, mm-hmm. which for a nerd like me is a big deal. And so, yeah, an overall shape looks good, but I'm not sure I like the mashed up, you know, different colorways. But there's certain details I'm liking that they're headed in the right direction for as far as like the model itself. So that's what I like to see.
You're not a fan of any of the top three stuff? Like, you didn't like the ones, like none of that kind of thing?
Nah. No? I mean, they're nice enough, but not enough for me to cop anything. I'm not a fan of most of them, I don't think.
If they were to do a top three Jordan 2, which three colorways would be on it?
None.
Triple white.
Exactly. I'm very, triple very specific when it comes to the twos. I just want the OG colorways.
True.
And there only were two of them, so.
That's true. I should have done that.
Top two.
I should have done, can you name five OG colorways of the Jordan 2?
No, I can't.
Exactly.
You stumped that too. Ha-ha!
Right. True to size 1, Sean Collard 0. next up, this week in kicks. Now is the part of the show where we discuss the current headlines and happenings in the world of sneakers. First up, Nike 1, Kawhi 0. So after a year-long battle between Nike and their former endorsee, Kawhi Leonard, we finally have a decision on the Claw logo case. So just as a refresher to everybody listening, last year when Kawhi left Nike to go to New Balance, he tried to take his Claw logo with him, the infamous big hand with the KL2 in it, claiming that the original sketch and inspiration was done by him. And we all saw that sketch that was in the news and everything, and it looked like it was done by a 7-year-old, and it was really embarrassing. He traced his own hand on like a legal size piece of paper. Last week a judge ruled that Nike's design was different enough from Kawhi's original sketch, so Kawhi lost the case. He is not able to bring his logo to New Balance. Kawhi's lawyer stated Kawhi put his heart and soul into that design. So we are obviously disappointed the judge ruled the logo belongs to Nike and not Kawhi.
Wow.
I feel bad laughing. Like, I love you, Kawhi. And I'm just imagining you in a dark room at a child's desk, tracing your hand and making that logo and putting your heart and soul into it. But like...
If tracing your hand is putting his heart and soul into it, I mean, he's got some work to do in self you know, some self help stuff to work on.
If tracing his hand is heart and soul, I want to know what his Raptors championship run was, because there's not much. Like, if that means they're both heart and soul, then I expect more out of, like, he hasn't hit his ceiling yet. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
You're not going to be seeing the Claw logo or anything like it on any New Balances anytime soon, unfortunately, because I think it's one of the better logos that they have on sneakers. Mm-hmm. Next up, should have used Jason Mark. So this story comes out of China. Mr. Wei, Wei, brought a pair of Nike Off-White Chicago Air Jordan 1s into a local cleaning establishment to have them cleaned. Mr. Wei paid resale for the shoe, so he paid around $700 Canadian. And brought them into Mr. Liu, who we paid about $10 to clean them. So just like a regular shoe cleaning establishment. Yeah. 3 days later, Mr. Wei returned to pick up his shoes, and the toe box on the left shoe was completely ruined, discolored. As anybody knows, the toe box on the Off-White Chicago line is like foam. It's like a weird mesh. It's like the inside of a shoe. So you have to be really careful when you clean it. And obviously, Mr. Liu was not. So Mr. Oh, Wei then sued the shoe cleaner, and a court ruled that accounting for general wear and tear of the shoe, Mr. Liu would have to pay about 60% of the purchase price of that shoe, which was about $4,000 Canadian, which is about 600 times the amount of the original price of the cleaning itself.
Wow.
That's crazy,
so,
bro.
Yeah, that's more like a story. That's more like story time than news. But yeah, it's kind of a watch yourself to all those shoe cleaning places that keep popping up. I don't know if you guys have them in Montreal, Sean, but there's been a couple pop up locally in Toronto, like shoe cleaning establishments. You can bring your shoe in and they'll basically just Jason market for you. But yeah, you got to be careful, because if you fuck up somebody's shoe, then it could be on your ass. And that's thinking you're getting paid $10 to clean a shoe and then having to pay $4,000 yourself is, not the best. Next up, previously in Kicks, this is the part of the show where we review our latest pickups and recap the latest happenings in our sneaker lives. I have nothing to report, shoes or otherwise. Alvin, anything for you?
Yeah, I won a NetMag raffle.
Oh, did you?
Sick. Yeah, it was that. I think it was the Union one where I just missed.
You won Unions?
Woo! Yeah, fuck it. I wish. No, so I won a like random DS box, and it's a pair of the new, Air Max Plus 2s, but in like the Vault colorway.
Okay.
Like the OG, like it's gray. It's got some Vault hits on there. Pretty dope. I'm gonna work on a picture soon, but
cool.
I got that, and then I also ordered an ergonomic mouse from. From Amazon.
Nice,
guys. my wrist was hurting, bro. My shooting wrist was hurting. So like,
I call it a shooting wrist.
I can't ruin my shooting wrist for ball. So, but yo, honestly, the ergonomic mouse helps a lot because it's weird and it's shaped weird and you have to hold it kind of weird and it's really nice.
So last week was
the only guy in the episode right now.
Last week was blue light glasses for playing video games because your eyes hurt. And now this week is an ergonomic mouse.
Yep.
Wow, you are living it up. It. Quarantine is doing you so good. Hey. That's. You are like feeding Amazon Plus 60 plus.
Bro, you don't even know.
Yeah, man.
I'm like prime times two right now.
Joel, anything more exciting than an ergonomic mouse on your end?
I don't have any sneakers, but I did pick up. It's a leash. Well, it's a collar, and it's called. It's not for me.
I would hope not. Yeah. Like we want to hear about these kinks and True to Size after dark, not during the podcast.
It's called a martingale collar. What it is if the puppy decides to leave like quick, it'll sort of like tighten around its neck, not to a point where it's like.
You're choking your dog. Nice.
Yeah. So, we're trying to train him to walk on the leash. So. But yeah,
my question is if the dog wants to leave, why are you forcing it to stay?
<I know.
laughs> You're saying the dog wants to leave, this thing's gonna snap its neck.
Just so that he can think twice about leaving.
Depends how bad it wants to leave now. Now we're gonna know how bad it wants to leave.
Yeah, but no sneaker pickups though.
All right, Uncle Scott, you have high competition here. You have a leash,
yes,
a collar, an ergonomic mouse pad, and nothing from me.
Wrist-saving mouse. I was able to pick up the DMP6s from our good friends at the
Closet.
Nice.
Very cool.
So I got those in. Actually got them in today, and last week I was able to get the Court Purple ones.
Oh, wow.
Which I got from our local shop, Sam Tabac, here in Montreal.
Very cool. Well, you've been busy.
Yeah, very happy. Very happy with both of those.
And you have the original DMP6, no?
I do. Yeah, I do. Yes.
So how do they compare? Do you want to give us a mini Sean Collard Instagram essay review right now?
Comparison.
How deep? Do you want to get deep into the stitching and stuff like that?
I have about 4 hours left on the memory card, so you can go.
Perfect.
Let's go.
That'll be a start. No, actually,
part one.
The truth is the 2020 is actually very close to the original release, and I actually like the overall shape of the 2020 better than the
2006.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting.
They did a great job on the new version.
The height is the same, like the ankle height and whatnot?
Height's the same. All that's the same. The material is very similar, if not exactly the same. Actually, the material in the new one actually might be a bit better than the 2006.
Oh, that's surprising.
Yeah. The tongue height's a little bit better on the 2006. I like the tongue to be a little bit higher on the 6s, higher, and that's a little higher on although I haven't unlaced the 2020, so I shouldn't guess about that. But no, they did a great job. And I'm anxious to have a second pair or a third pair actually now, because I have two pack. But because the last one, the pair that I wear from the pack is those heel tabs cracked on me a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay, so, yeah.
Nice to have a fresh pair to wear.
Nice.
As they do, exactly.
Yeah. And it came with all like the accessories and everything too, right? Like the little dog tag.
The really
which
nice
is...
pack. The box, the gold box is great.
The box is very cool.
The hang tag. Yeah, very cool.
That's cool.
Well done.
Wow. Any non-sneaker pickups? Anything similar to a mouse or...
The last time I spoke to you guys during our mutual pod there with the sneaker podcast, I'd gotten that Nerf hoop.
Yeah.
The door basketball hoop from Spalding.
Mm-hmm.
I actually purchased a new ball for it because I wasn't satisfied with the ball that it came with.
That's so amazing.
I bought if you guys are looking for a better ball to go with your door hoops, you need a dense, soft sponge ball.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So they bounce, actually bounce, and they went. The ball it came with was a rubber one that was just like.
And it's noisy, and yeah, I agree.
Exactly. And so I've actually, at the same time I bought the hoop, I bought a smaller sort of a sponge ball. I can't call them Nerf balls because they're not Nerf balls, but. And it was too light, and I'd throw it, I'd shoot, and it would like drift off to the side.
And it's got
to
be the ball, not you, right?
But the dense one's much heavier, and it's not too heavy that it destroys my house, and it's perfect, and it's a bit bigger, so I like that too.
Nice.
Who doesn't like things that are bigger?
That's the most Sean Collard thing I've ever heard. Like, the ball that came with my mini hoop wasn't of good enough quality for me, so I needed to upgrade my mini hoop ball.
That's right. Hey man, if we're gonna be in quarantine for God knows how long, I need the right ball for my door.
That's
hoop.
Right.
I really want to see like a typical Sean Collard post, but with the ball it came with and like the little foam ball and like the years and everything and like the long I want to see that so bad.
I am on it. Expect to see that on my feed
with like the heights and everything and
absolutely the density.
Yeah, weigh it. I want everything.
I love it. It's
like
done.
A squish test and everything.
Yeah, buoyancy, everything. I want to know all of it.
The packaging was shit on the smaller ball. Consider it done.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know where we are in the podcast anymore. Next up, I found it. Errors, edits, and e-messages. E-E-E. We're pretty smart guys, but from time to time we make mistakes. So if you catch us slipping, hit us in the DM and we'll let the world know that we goofed. So actually no mistakes this week, which is impressive for us.
What?
First of all, Parlor23 texted me, I think it was this morning, in regards to our NSR from last week where we talked about best food court foods. First of all, Sean, your favorite go-to food court stop in a mall?
They're probably different here in Montreal, but I tend to go with anything Chinese food at a mall.
Yes. Okay.
Totally Manchu walk. Manchu walk.
Manchu walk. Yeah.
Okay, Manchu. I can respect that.
Manchu walk.
Is there a Shanghai 360 out there or no?
You know, the kind of food that they have either the sweet and sour chicken that has like no chicken in it. Just batter.
I'm in it for the MSG, bro. That's tasty. Okay, that answer couldn't have been more perfect, because Jaren from Parlor 23 says, in response to what I said, bro, bourbon and Manchu wok must be a white guy thing, because I had the same two answers. I legit laughed when you said it.
See, we know.
I don't know what's wrong with white people and fake Chinese food, but I cannot get enough of it.
It's catered, man. It's catered.
They know what they're doing. They know their target market for sure.
That's right.
That's right. And next up, Falsey 30. So this was in relation to us talking with Tim about just everything basketball. He says, you guys were talking NBL. There was a pro league in Canada that launched last summer as well called the CEBL, Canadian Elite Youth Basketball League. There are teams from out west and out east. It's a lot of NBL players, and there are spots reserved for Canadian U sports players. It's really good ball. Cool. I do like the whole reserve spots for Canadian players. It's kind of like the CFL,
for sure.
How they have like you have to have a certain amount of Canadians on your squad. So I do like that. Thank you, Falsey 30. Depending how long this quarantine goes, maybe I'll start watching old CEBL games. Who knows? We'll see. Next up, thumbs down. In this part of the show, we give our opinion on various sneaker-related topics with zero context or discussion. All we're allowed to say is thumbs up or thumbs down. And keeping with the fact that we have a good friend, Sean Collard, on the show with us this week, my question to you guys for thumbs up, thumbs down is Jordan 1.5s. Thumbs up or thumbs down, Alvin?
Down, man. Down. Fuck that shit.
Joel, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Down.
Well, Sean, I'll go. Actually, you go last, Sean. I'm going to give it a thumbs up. Sean Collard, go ahead.
What do you think I'm going to say? Thumbs up. Of course.
Thumbs up.
And we're not allowed to tell you why.
No.
No.
We're not.
I have a very long reason.
If you want to hear Sean Collard's long reason, let us know, and we'll have him send in an audio clip next week.
No one will hear that.
Once again, if you're introduced
in fact,
as...
one mistake from this episode is going to be having Sean Collard on the episode.
Sean Collard was there.
Oh, again.
Wasn't he just there 90 episodes ago?
You gotta go minimum 100 between his episodes.
Yeah, we almost hit the quota. Well, like we said before the podcast started, we're almost at 200, so you're gonna be back really soon, depending how long this quarantine goes. Next up, NSR. We talk about sneakers a lot, so in this weekly segment, we're going to take 30 seconds out of the show to discuss something completely irrelevant to the world of sneakers, because we haven't done that yet today. So I feel like this is a lifelong, eternal debate, and it needs to be settled. So being true to size, we are the ones who are going to settle it once and for all right now. I want to know, chicken wings or ribs? Alvin, what do you think?
Chicken wings.
Ooh.
I like the crunchy. I like the smallness.
The smallness.
Chicken wings.
Chicken wings. All right. Joel, chicken wings or ribs?
I like ribs.
Oof. For some reason, that doesn't surprise me. I don't know what about you gives off rib vibes, but Joel gives me rib vibes for sure.
It's like you get the Viking feel kind of thing of eating a rib and getting all that stuff all in your face.
Just like our ancestors have done for years.
Yeah.
Diana sauce all over their face. Yeah.
I love Diana sauce.
Diana.
I'm going to go with chicken wings. I don't really know why. I just really like chicken wings. But I had ribs for dinner today, so that's how I thought of this. Sean, settle the tie for us.
I'm going to go with wings. I'm going to go with wings because I find it hard to find a restaurant or a place that makes ribs really...
Good ribs, yeah.
Good ribs, for sure. Whereas it's pretty hard to fuck up a chicken wing.
Precisely.
That's true, too.
Precisely.
That's very true.
The bottom of the barrel chicken wing is still just as good as a mid-tier rib.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very true.
And I think that was about 30 seconds. So thank you, gentlemen, for that. Next up, the moment that pretty much everyone, including Sean Collard, has been waiting for since episode 22 of True to Size. 21 questions. So, Sean, you're going to get your own personal fire round here. Just like when you were courting your wife in 1975, you're going to play 21 questions with us. and first answer that comes to mind, just blurt it out. They can't all be the Jordan 2, though. I'm sure some of them will be the Jordan 2, okay. But some of them will have to be different than that.
Sure.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one, air or boost?
Air.
Number two, crew socks or no shows?
No shows.
Number three, red or blue?
Red.
Number four, pineapple on pizza?
No.
Number five, get out.
I think I had that question last time I was on. It wasn't a popular answer.
Number five, original boxes or drop fronts?
Original boxes.
Number six, Rodman or Pippin?
Pippin.
Number seven, laces tied tight in a bow or hanging loose?
Do it have to be tight or can it just be tied?
Just tied in a bow is fine.
tied.
Number eight, Air Force Ones or Dunks?
Dunks.
Number nine, favorite Jordan moment?
Shit. winning that first championship when he's hugging the trophy and crying.
Yeah. Man.
BRB, so I'm gonna cry too thinking about that.
Yeah, man.
Number 10, can you still dunk?
Last time I tried, it was 2 years ago, and I could do it. I'm pretty sure I could still do it. I feel like I could.
Yeah. Wow. So you have to come to our next ball run then. Okay.
Yeah. I said I could still play. I said I could still dunk.
If you can dunk, you can play. Just stand under the hoop, okay. And we'll throw you lobs. Number 11, favorite Jordan model above the AJ14?
Above? I'm going to go with the 23.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. 23. I just love the craftsmanship on that whole thing.
Yeah. Detail is crazy too. Yeah.
Detail is amazing.
Number 12, favorite non Nike or Jordan brand?
Converse.
I was going to say, no Converse in it too. I'll allow it.
I like them from before they were.
I'll allow it.
Before they were owned by Nike.
Number 13, how many sides on a decagon?
10?
Yes. Wow. Very impressive. Number 14, elephant print or cement print?
I'm going to say cement. I'm going to say elephant print only because cement is not a print.
Okay.
You want me to explain that one?
Yeah, please get into it. Go ahead. Please hit me with the technicality.
So
go ahead.
Cement? So elephant print, there's an elephant. The print is the elephant. Looks like elephant skin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The cement is cement gray. The splatter is what you guys are thinking of. The splatter of the black speckles. That's not a print.
Okay, but that's what I'm referring to.
The color of gray.
Elephant print or cement splatter?
Elephant print.
Now I remember why it's been 90 episodes. Okay.
On the elephant print, this it's also cement gray.
No, I know. You know what I meant, though. You know what I meant.
Now I do.
This is why you had me on, Lawrence.
You are a walking EEE. I hate it. Number 15. Who is the most influential person in sneakers right now? It can't be Michael Jordan.
I don't know. Yeah, obviously, I can't say Michael Jordan. Travis, I guess. Travis Scott.
I could see that. That's a good answer. I like that you even know who that is. That's impressive. Good for you.
only because Chris Chu jams it down our throat.
Yeah. Shout out to Christopher Chu. Number 16. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Off-white Jordans.
I'll say thumbs up. I'm sort of indifferent, but I'll say thumbs up. There's some models I like, some that I don't. So I'll say thumbs up.
Number 17, most comfortable shoe that you own.
Good question.
I'm gonna say Nike Epic React.
Okay. Nice. Great shoe.
Good answer. Yeah.
Number 18, what is a group of flamingos called?
Oh shit.
I have no flock.
No. It's called
a gaggle of flamingos.
A gaggle.
I heard of flamingos.
It's called a flamboyance. actually.
Oh,
yep.
Oh shit, I didn't know
that. A flamboyance of flamingos.
Flamboyance.
I know that both Joel and Alvin know that because of Animal Kingdom.
Interesting that you've chosen the flamboyance to use in my questions. Okay.
If the flamingo fits. Number 19.
The flamboyance fits.
Flamboyance.
What is the square root of 100?
Fuck! I told you there would be no. I was told there'd be no math question.
You were never told that.
Fucking 25. I can't even think.
10. The correct answer is 10.
10.
Yes.
10.
Number. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. Number 20. What is your number one grail?
It's the Air Jordan, the original Air Jordan 2 that I never was able to get. God damn it. damn single mom and her thriftiness. Back in 1987.
How dare she?
How dare she deprive her 13-year-old son who grew 4 inches every 4 months from a $100 pair of sneakers?
Yeah,
damn it. How dare she birth such a greedy person?
Exactly. Who knows nothing about math.
Maybe you were better at math, you would have got more shoes as a child. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
And number 21, would you rather receive your number one grail or three other pairs from your top 10?
Number one grail.
Number one?
Yeah.
Just so you can stop complaining about your mom mistreating you as a child.
Yeah. Right.
See, mom, at least I love me. All right, you did half decent on 21 questions. I must say, it might have been the longest 21 questions we've ever had. That's just a side note. It was expected when we had you on the podcast. So as we mentioned, it's been 90 episodes since you've been here, so it's been a while. I don't know if everybody knows, everybody listening knows the story about you and how you got into sneakers and everything. So we do want to go through your soulography real quick. And I know there's the only thing you like talking about more than Jordan 2 is yourself. So please.
Wow.
So please. Bro, every third picture is you in high school or.
Oh man, go back. Not lately, it hasn't been.
Totally playing.
It's once a week. It's only on Throwback Thursday.
But we digress. We do want to tell the listeners a little bit about your past, how you got into sneakers, where this all stemmed from, and that kind of thing. So if you, we'll all sit back and relax while you give your story, because it is a good one. We do want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And the look of enthusiasm on your face is telling it all for me
right now. It doesn't matter what my face looks like. It matters what my voice sounds like.
That's true. Well, I mean, very simply, it was, I was a ball player from the time I was very young. I was, I guess I started when I was 8 or 9 years old, I think. And I started, my first team that I loved was the Showtime Lakers of the '80s before Michael Jordan came along, obviously. And, so the first sneaker I really remember needing or wanting to have was the, Converse Pro Star. And so I was luckily, my mother wasn't, stingy on that one. She got me that one. for that basketball season when I was like 10.
The fact that you said, luckily, mom. She wasn't stingy. Oh,
I'm totally kidding. Obviously, I'm kidding. She was very generous in getting me those as a young boy. So Magic Johnson, I wanted to have his sneakers. And then after that was the Converse Weapons were the next ones I really wanted. That was in 86. But in between there... obviously Michael Jordan was drafted into the NBA, and that's when I really kind of sort of started taking notice of who he was and how exciting his play was. And
yeah.
I not so much seeing like people I played against or you know have the Air Jordan 1s, but I saw when I was not like the kids, I was like 10 or 11 when they came out, I guess 12 maybe, but a lot of kids when I go to tournaments would be wearing the Jordan 1s and the older guys, the older players in the high school and stuff. And so I was like, oh man, those look really cool with that Wings logo and stuff. So I wanted those badly, but they were a little more expensive than my mom would have wanted to pay. But the actually a local shop here in Montreal had the black and red and the white and red, or the Chicago AJKOs, and they were $19.99.
Jesus.
It was like in 1986, I guess, 85, 86. And yeah, and so my mom said, if you get a good report card, obviously I really studied my math that year. And I've forgotten it all since. But she agreed to get me the AJKO. So I got the black and red AJKOs in 1985 or 86. I can't remember exactly, but for 1999. So that was my first pair of Air Jordans.
Wow.
And then cut to 87. I saw the 87 All-Star game, and obviously was in awe of Michael Jordan by that time, and saw the 1987 dunk contest, and was wondering what the hell was on his feet, and the free throw line dunk was insane and all that stuff, and the kiss the rim dunk. And then a few months, I didn't see it during the game for some reason, but a few months later I was watching a Lakers Celtics game, in I think like May or something like that. And, during the third quarter, there was the vintage, now vintage, Air Jordan Imagination commercial where he's in that dark gym and the baseline kicks up and he does that sort of walks up those invisible flight of stairs. And at the tagline at the end is a close up of the sneakers is Air Jordan. It's all in the imagination. I was like, I was obsessed immediately. And then, my mom said, like, we're going that later that fall, we were going to a tournament in the States because we couldn't find them anywhere here and had no clue. I mean, I was 13 years old at the time, so I had no clue about price and all that shit and, availability. So whatever local store didn't, if they had them, they had them. They didn't. We weren't going to go downtown to look for sneakers and stuff. So, but we were going to the States and, for a tournament when I was in seventh grade. And mom said, if we find them there, I'll get you a pair, not knowing again they're gonna be $100. So we get down to Plattsburgh, New York, which is just across the border from here in Montreal. And we check into the hotel, run to the mall, right to the Foot Locker, and there they are sitting on the shelf. I'm like, holy shit. And I look at the price tag and they're $100. And my mom's like, hell no. And I hit her with a shoe and then no. No, I was obviously upset, but it just all that did was fuel my obsession with this fucking shoe for the last 33 years.
Yeah.
And so I've been obsessed with the two. That's why I've been obsessed with two. I was never able to get them, and I actually gave my grandmother. My grandmother was going to California in January and February for a month of '88. So January, February, and so I. She's like, I'll get them for you if I see them in California. She was gonna get them. She said, I'll get them. I gave her a picture. I've glued pictures of the two to a piece of paper, and I was like, this, I circled things. I was like, this is it. She's like, oh, no problem. I'll try to find them. I'll do my best. And I was like checking in with her from. She would call me to check in. Like I can't find them anywhere. I've gone to this Foot Locker, this mall, and that mall. I can't find them. Like how I had the best grandparents ever. My mom should have taken a few notes. but then finally she's like, I went to this Foot Locker in Beverly Hills and they don't have those ones, but they have this, they said they have this new model coming in. And do you want those? They're coming in on like the next day or something like that. I'm like, and I just seen the 88 dunk contest and All-Star game. And I was like, I didn't know what they were. Cause at that time we don't know that like a new Air Jordan was going to come out of the year. Yeah. There was no precedence for that. Right. So I was like, yeah, sure, I guess.
Sure.
The guy said he has a white and a black pair coming in. Which one do you want, the white or the black pair?
Like, both.
I like the white pair because I saw that's what he's wearing in the dunk contest. Yeah, both, exactly. Both, Mom.
You hear that?
You hear that, Mom? She's thinking me both. So she brought me back the white cement threes in 88 from wow. I'm one of the first guys. I don't remember seeing too many people with them or anybody at the time. I remember wearing them in a tournament shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
And people were like literally like following me, like yelling at me from the sidelines as I was playing. Like, where did you get the shoes? And I was like, it was the best feeling, obviously.
Wow.
So that was my sort of starting, have my obsession with the Air Jordans. And that's where I got started. And Lawrence is right. I love talking about myself.
All I took from that was you were the first influencer, the first documented influencer in history.
Yeah,
so,
thank
you for that very brief but detailed description of how you got started. So how did it progress after that? Like, when did you get your first pair of Jordan 2s then? If this was 97 or sorry, 87-ish when you were all going crazy and couldn't get it, when did you get your first pair of Jordan 2s then?
I didn't get my first pair of twos till 96 when I stumbled upon them in a mall in Arizona. I happened to be on a vacation in Arizona. Yes, I was in my 20s at that point. And 1996.
Wow.
And I had no idea that they had even released, because I had gotten the 94 Retro 3s. They were the first ones actually to come out, retros that came out in 94. And we had no clue that any other retros were coming out or had come out or were going to come out. And so I'd gotten the 3s, and I knew the black and cement and white and cement 3s had come out, but no clue that any other retros were coming out. So, again, walked into this Champs in Arizona, in Scottsdale, Arizona, at a mall, and they were sitting there on the shelf. And I was like, holy shit, those are the tubes. And I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. So that wasn't until 96 that I actually got my first, which wasn't that long of a wait when you think about it. 9 years later, I guess, was
quite a long time.
Yeah, and they were $75, and then I got a second pair that summer in New York City for $65.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, take me back for real. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I was 4 crazy. Years old again. That would be amazing. So as we've discussed, or if you haven't figured out now, for everyone listening, Sean is very about the OG this and the OG that, and it has to be perfect this and it has to be perfect that. So I want to know, because you always post that. That's not even a shot. That's just it's a fact. So how do you feel? I know you always post like the comparisons on Instagram, and they are actually really interesting to read occasionally. Mm. I get like halfway through it and I'm like, okay, I think I get the gist. do you think that they're doing a good job overall with the like bringing back stuff and keeping it OG, that kind of thing? Like you mentioned, I know it's not OG, but the DMP6s were well done. Do you think overall they're doing a good job, or...
I think up until this past year, maybe even the last year, it was kind of hit or miss, but I think they really are really focusing on getting details right and getting the quality better and overall shape and stuff. I think they're really doing a good job lately. And honestly, I've sort of, even though I do those comparison posts and stuff, personally, I've sort of not given up, but I've kind of accepted the fact that they're not going to be as great as the originals. They never were, and they never will be. Like, no retro has ever been identical to an original. Even the 94 retros, they were not identical to the original. So, and those are highly regarded as the best retros that ever released, and they're not identical to the original. So I've kind of accepted that it's not going to be, you know, identical, and I'm okay with it. I like that there's some changes, and really the purpose I do those posts, the comparison posts, is just to point out, like, hey, look, this is different, and that's different. And this is where like I said with the DMP6s, they've actually improved from the original release. So, long story short,
you can't say that after a long story.
Long story longer. I think they've been doing a great job lately.
Okay, that's so. You kind of mentioned briefly in there that sometimes the OG like isn't as good. Maybe not OG, but they sometimes improve on stuff as they bring it back out. Is there anything that you can think of, like any OG details, really from any shoe that you can think of that shouldn't be brought back? Or that they could improve on, like just off the top of your head, whether it be materials, shape, whatever, like, is there things that they should just kind of leave alone or they should improve on?
Yeah, I mean, there's the original Durabuck that was this one, the material that was used on from the 4 to I think the 7. And even up to, I think it was a completely different Durabuck than any that we've ever seen, because they stopped actually manufacturing it in I think 1998. The company went out of business or something like that, or lost the patent or something, and Nike never really reproduced it. And it actually ended up being a good thing, because that original Durabuck over time would chip and crack. And obviously at the time when they're making it, they're not thinking longevity of a material. They're thinking about how the performance is going to be on court in the short term. Mm. But it's good to see that stuff like that, like materials were improved, that they actually can on a retro last longer, and you won't have to worry about that chipping and cracking. You know, if you're going to hold on to them for 10 plus, you know, 15, 20 years, 30.
I wonder if they take that into account now. Like they must take into account longevity, because like it's a thing very much so now.
And if you look, you look at stuff like the even with stuff when people, there was a long time where people were hated the fact that shoes creased, which is insane, because you wear your shoes, they're going to crease. Yeah. But then Jordan Brand tried to make a material that was very stiff around 2013, so that it wouldn't crease as much, and then everybody complained that they were too stiff.
They were garbage. Yeah.
You can't make everybody happy.
No. Can't win, man.
Well, everyone was right in saying that. Those were garbage.
They were. They 100% were horrible.
They were awful.
They were horrible.
Yeah. I don't know what material that was, but throw it out and lock away the key. So speaking of bringing stuff, so you're the Jordan 2 guy, and I do have another question about the OG stuff, but I do want to know this while we talk about materials. The Jordan 2, your shoe, the whole thing about it when it first came out, correct me if I'm wrong, which I probably am, was the made in Italy, like the premium leather, like it was meant to be like the upper echelon basketball sneaker and sneaker of the time. If it were to come back, because it's been quite a, when was the last time the Jordan 2 even came out? It's been 10 years.
OG colorway? Yeah. 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 2010.
That's
so 10 years. Yeah.
Too long, but that's just a side story. Yeah. That was really good, man. 10 is also the square root of 100. So you can, there you go. So I want to know, so if they were to bring it back now, it's been 10 years, I think it's long overdue, but you've got to assume that it's coming soon. Speaking of materials, would you like to see the whole made in Italy, like fancy leather, high quality on it? Because in 2020, 2021, 2022, a shoe like that, Nike's going to market for $330 plus tax. Do you want to see something like that? Or would you rather it be something more like the 2010 version where it was less, like not as high quality, I'm assuming, as made in Italy, but more accessible and a lower price point?
Yeah, personally, I don't really care about the made in Italy thing. It's very cool that the originals were made in Italy, but I just wanted like to have decent enough quality that it's not like aggravating. But but I actually would prefer like the fact that they're doing like details like with the DMP6s, for example, with the gold box, the hang tag, like bring back some of that stuff. Like, so bring back the original box from the two, which is the Wings logo box. And bring, they had it like, even maybe you could throw in like the shoe manual that it came with, the Wings logo hang tag that was on it. Even it can, maybe, I guess they can't say made in Italy if it's not made in Italy, but something along the lines of, born
they used to be made in Italy.
Once upon a time made in Italy. But I'd like them to just come back and with good quality. As long as I get the shape right and, have those little details and stuff added, I'd be happy.
What's the best retro you've seen? I know you mentioned the 94 threes are regarded as the best one. What's the best one you've seen lately that has been like true to the OG?
It's not an OG colorway, but the ones from the Airship and Jordan 1 pack, they're pretty insane. The quality is insane, and the shape is almost identical to the original 85 one. Yeah, so it's those are definitely, they did an insane job on those.
I know you got those like 3 months early, so if you have a plug at Jordan Brand, can you let them know to bring the Chicago and the bread back that look like that? Because that would be...
Done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'll have a word.
Thank you very much. Just send like a quick text to Michael or whoever is in charge over there. So just really quick then, I just want to know, because I have kind of like a conspiracy theory about this, and we've talked about it on the podcast before. Do you think that they care to get it right as for the OG? Like, why can't they seem to get it right or exact or close? Like, it sometimes seems they're super far off, just based on reading a lot of your posts and going through it. Like, there's a lot of differences that are striking, like they're quite different. Do you think that if they really wanted to, because clearly on the ones that came in the Airship pack, they did a decent enough job keeping it true to the OG, could they get it right if they wanted to? Do they want to get it right at all?
Yeah, I think for the longest time, I think they didn't care. There are people in the brand that care, but I think the decision makers at the brand don't care. The decision makers in the brand, all they care about is the bottom line, I think. So that really didn't matter to them. But I do feel like we're sort of on an upswing in terms of trying to get it right. And obviously, like you said, with executing the Air Jordan 1, they really did the problem was it was extremely limited. So I don't know if they're gonna focus that much on getting the shoe right and the proper materials, if it's gonna be a situation where they can't release it as a general release, they can't mass produce it, because as soon as you do that, then you're gonna be forced to lose some of the quality, the quality that you're trying to strive for.
Yes.
But I do genuinely, I've had the privilege of getting to speak to a few people at the brand, and there are people at the brand who genuinely care about the stuff. It's that it's a constant fight within the brand to try to get that stuff, the right stories told and the right, sneakers to be released and released properly and all that stuff. So there are people fighting for it. It's just a matter of whether or not they're, you know, they're met with a positive reaction or fuck off out of here. We just want to make some money. Kind of.
I could definitely see the compromise between, okay, we want quality, but we also have to make a million pairs of it. So like you got to kind of draw the line somewhere. Yeah, exactly. Like the conspiracy theory or the thing that always gets kind of floated around or the thing that I think might be true is that like they'll give us like a court purple where it's like it's decent, it's not bad, but then they have the pair that came in the pack that's like amazing. So you know that they have it in the vault somewhere. They have that mold. It doesn't just go away. They have the materials so that when they do release Chicago's breads, whatever they choose to do like that, it just makes it that much more special and that much more sought after. So like, I feel like if they wanted to, they could do it all the time, but they're purposely holding it back for things like that. Like they'll bring back something and they'll keep one detail out. They'll bring back this and they'll put a Jumpman instead of a Nike Air. So then when they put a Nike Air on the tongue instead of a Jumpman, then it's, oh my God, I need this one because it has the Nike Air. I think it's very calculated personally, but I definitely agree that there must be some sort of give and take between mass production and quality for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree 100% with you that there are definitely cases where it's just, they could do it. They just choose not to do it, but there are, believe it or not, there are cases, unfortunately, where they fuck it up. they actually just fuck it up.
We're giving them too much credit. We're reading way too much into it. They're just like, we have a bunch of these Jumpman tags left over. Let's just throw that on the top.
I remember when the 2015 when the Aqua 8s came out, they all of a sudden had a retro card in there, and that retro card was from 2007. somebody found a stack in the warehouse and just
throw them in the boxes. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Charge $10 more. It's all right.
That's right.
Okay, so we got through all that stuff, and I want to end it on something. I'm going to give you 60 seconds, maybe a little bit longer, depending on how good you are. 60 seconds. You have 60 seconds to give us your best sales pitch. Sell us the Jordan 2. Make us want it right now. Make everyone listening want a pair of Jordan 2s.
Okay, well, first of all, the Air Jordan 2 was worn by Michael Jordan and quite arguably one of his greatest seasons ever. 37.1 points per game. Defensive player of the year. I mean, when does that happen? He scored 3,000 points in a season. He won the 1987 dunk contest wearing that shoe. He was in the 1987 All-Star game wearing that shoe. I mean, there are so many accolades that go along with that shoe. It's such an important shoe in his history that it has to come back. It has to be, that story has to be told again, and not just a matter of like, here, you're dropping it with no story whatsoever. Like, it has to be like, this is why we're bringing this back and we're doing it properly, hopefully. Mm.
I kind of want a pair now. That was pretty good.
I need to go on
real quick.
My question is, does it come in a low?
Ooh.
No. Yes. Well, they do come in lows.
I'm sold. Low, yeah.
Okay. So then
do I have to do to put you in a Jordan 2 today, boy?
you already did it, bro.
I think you just did it. Okay, so I want to know, I thought that was the last thing. What is the proper way to bring it back then? Like, your ideal rollout here, like, what year is it, packaging? Like, give me everything. I know that Jordan Brand, Michael Jordan himself, is listening right now. What's the ideal way to roll it back out? Give me everything.
I don't think the year, at this point, the year doesn't matter, because the year to do it would have been the 30th anniversary, which is in 2017. But
yeah.
I think, like I said, the packaging is very important. You want to show, like they did with the details with the Airship 1 and Jordan 1 pack, bring back those the booklet, the hang tag, and maybe have I can't say a marketing campaign because they're not probably going to throw that much money at it, but like remind people that this was an important shoe, an important part of his history, important part of his career, that was his highest scoring season, scoring average ever. Dunk contest, like remind people that, whether it's a blog, post on the Air Jordan website, whatever they have to do, but it just remind people that it is very important in Michael Jordan's career, that particular sneaker. And I get chills just thinking about it. I think the box and the tag and the booklet, I think that really goes a long way. Those little extras, people want to see. If you're paying $200+ US for a sneaker, you want to see those little extras. And if they can do that, I think it'll drop. Like, look how badly people wanted those the ship pack.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people got pissed off because it wasn't available outside Chicago, and then now they're selling for ridiculous prices on StockX and stuff. But look how badly people wanted it all of a sudden, right? Yeah. But because the packaging was there, obviously the limitedness obviously played a big part of why people wanted it to. But I think the details of it when it released that was a big part of it too. Like, so I think if they do that with the twos, they would sell pretty well.
Okay, I thought that was the last question, but I have one more last question now. If if it released in a pack, what would the other shoe be?
Good question. I've dreamed. I actually posted this on my page. I'd love to see a slam dunk contest pack. So a 2 and a 3 together.
Yeah.
The both OG colors, the Chicago 2 and the white cement 3 in a pack together would be insane.
They've done too many white cement 3s though in the last decade though. I can't see it. They did the free throw line
5 years and do it then. hopefully I'll be alive. Yeah.
Don't say that. Oh my god. Relax,
you
bro.
Really
you're
hitting me with the old jokes.
You're only 72, man. Relax. It's okay. You have tons of time left.
Perfect.
I hope you live to see another Jordan 2. That's all I have to say. Yes. Sean, thank you so much for being here. This was so fun. Always, nice talking to you. Hopefully,
thank you guys for having me on. I loved it.
Hopefully the jabs weren't too personal, only somewhat personal. And we do want
the next sneaker podcast episode.
Yeah. Oh man. I can't wait to listen to how much shit he talks about us on the next one.
never.
Get his shots back in. And we do want to give one shout out to Mama Collar. You were a good mom. Yes. We were joking.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, she was the best mom.
Sean turned out really good.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not awful. He likes the Jordan 2. Other than liking the Jordan 2, he's a pretty good guy. Thank you to everyone who has supported and or been a part of the podcast. Wherever you're taking in the episode, please leave a comment, review, follow, and or subscribe. We've got a Facebook group we like to use as a forum, sell stuff, and connect with you guys called CGS Talk. You can find it on facebook.com/group/CGS.talk. We've got a website we use for reviews, recap stories, and much, 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 much more. You can find it on CanadaGotSold.ca. If you have any questions or suggestions for any of our segments, like the Soul Pulse, Sneaker Heading for Dummies, or the Fire Round, shoot us a DM or email us at CanadaGotSoul@gmail.com. Do not forget to use hashtag CanadaGotSoul on Instagram for a feature. I have been Lawrence Hopkins. You can find me at LDoggyStyles on Instagram. Woof.
I'm Joel Hernandez. You can find me at Joe Dooney, JO_D3OsNEY.
My name is Alvin Quincy, and you can find me at MISTERQ and then Mark.
Sean, that's your cue. Go ahead.
At SColor23 and at OG Support Group, and find me at the Sneaker Podcast.
Beautiful. Yeah. And thank you, Sean, for being here. Yeah. Thank you for listening to us talk about sneakers for 111 episodes. And please remember to rock your kicks. This has been True to Size. We have been CGS and Uncle Scott, and we are out. Peace.
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 Thanks, boys. That was fun.
So good.
That was good, man.
Thanks, man. That was fun.
Fucking getting dirty on me there.
Honestly, it's been a long time I've been
Instagram
cooped
page.
Up.
Who the fuck else am I going to talk about?
Yeah.